More Idaho Matters now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. When it comes to science and nature and birds, Jennifer Akerman can tell you a thing or two. For more than 30 years, she's been exploring mysteries of the natural world and breaking them down for people to understand. And if all that wasn't enough, she's also a New York Times bestselling author, and she's joining us today to talk about her most recent book, What an Owl Knows, The New Science of the World's Most Anemic Birds. Jennifer, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's so great to be here.
Okay, so let's begin by talking about the book itself and where, you know, where did your fascination first off come from when it comes to birds and nature?
Well, so I was, I've been watching birds since I was a child. I was 7 or 8 years old. My dad would take me bird watching on the C&O Canal in Washington, D.C. And he was a big bird watcher. He had learned how to bird watch as a Boy Scout. And it really just set me down a path of a kind of lifelong love of birds and curiosity about them. So it was a real gift. And I've really enjoyed learning a lot about birds. And especially as a science writer, it has been really a great exploration.
So give us a little bit of history on owls. I mean, how long have they been around?
So they've been around, probably first appeared on Earth, we think some 55 to 65 million years ago. And like all birds, you know, they arose from an ancestral group of these small and mostly predatory, these little running dinosaurs that lived together with the bigger dinosaurs. And then there was that mass extinction that killed off most of those big dinosaurs. And the little ones survived, including the forerunners of today's owls and all other bird species. So that was the beginning. And then owls probably, they diverged from that sister group of day active birds around the same time that those little mammals came out from under the shadow of the big dinosaurs. And the mammals began to diversify. And some of them, like the ancestors of mice and shrew, opossums, they took to night niches. And owls actually adapted, evolving this suite of really remarkable traits to take advantage of what was turned out to be a nocturnal feast. Mm-hmm. You know, they have good vision and dim light, superior hearing, and soft camouflage feathers that are tailored for quiet flight.
So I know you said they have really good hearing, but apparently they have really good math skills as well.
Yes. Well, this just absolutely stunned me. So they have these amazing, in their brains, they have amazing sound localization systems. And that means that they can determine the location of a particular sound in space. And one of the ways that they do this is their brain has neurons in it that supports these very sophisticated mathematical computations that help them pinpoint prey. And so these neurons in this auditory brain of the owls, they actually do advanced math. So they're not just adding and multiplying the sort of incoming auditory signals, but they're also updating all the auditory information as it comes in. And an owl's brain then is doing all this calculating in less than the blink of an eye. And it's just absolutely mind-blowing.
And you write in the book as well that they have emotions.
Yeah. So, you know, we've struggled with the idea of emotions and feelings in other animals, but some of the trainers work really closely with owls one-on-one. They're training them often to be education birds or ambassador birds that go into schools and communities to teach people about owls and their nature. And these people who train owls have really come to realize in the last maybe 5 or 10 years that owls have very clear, though subtle, emotions. they feel all kinds of feelings such as irritation, you know, stress, fear, relaxation, comfort. And they reflect this in their, sometimes in their vocalizations, but also in their body language, in the way they hold their feathers and their, what's called their facial disc, and the way they hold their feet on a perch. All of these things reveal their state of mind.
So let's talk a little bit about their verbalization and their communication, because owls, they all have signature hoots and voices, you say.
Yes. You know, it's quite amazing. They all have very distinctive voices. You know, they're so unique and distinct from one another that you can actually fingerprint an individual owl by its voice.
Oh, wow.
And one of the things that, you know, they're animals that depend on sound. So this is the way that they, you know, they identify each other. They identify mates and kin and allies and rivals all through these vocalizations. And the vocalizations themselves are very diverse, lots of different kinds of calls. Not just hoots, but, you know, they have many kinds of hoots. They have territorial hoots, emphatic hoots, and also they squeal and chitter and squawk and all of these calls they have within them, really specific information about the particularities of that bird, like its gender, its size, its weight, its, as I said, individual identity, and also its state of mind.
So did you have to do a lot of research and travel for this book to learn more?
I certainly did. I went out in the field with some of the best owl experts in the world. And we went into the field in places as far flung as, I don't know, Montana, Europe, South America. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate the generosity of these scientists, because they let me traipse around in the field with them and taught me so much about the work that they do, about the species they study and their techniques. And so I spent a lot of time with people who really understand owls, and you know, and I got to see a lot of owls and actually hold them myself while they were doing their measurements and taking blood samples and that sort of thing. So it was an extraordinary exploration for me.
What was one of the most interesting things that you learned during your research?
Well, you know, the vocalizations piece of it was very interesting to me. I always think about how, you know, we humans are such such communicators, and to discover that an owl had all these subtleties in its communication skills was amazing to me. Also, there's so many aspects of their nesting that I find fascinating. You know, they don't build their own nests. They actually appropriate the nesting structures and nests and other kinds of structures that other animals build. So, for instance, a little owl will take over the hole that's drilled by a woodpecker, say in an aspen tree, or a long-eared owl, which is kind of a mid-size owl, that will nest in an old raven's nest or magpie nest, big stick nests. And the great big owls, like great horned owls and great gray owls, they nest in old raven nests and hawk nests. So that was interesting to me. And then there's a species of owl that actually nests underground in burrows that are dug by, you know, prairie dogs, groundhogs, woodchucks, armadillos. And these birds, you know, they sometimes they nest in deserts. They can take shelter in these cooler burrows. And the cool thing is that the males actually decorate the mouths of the burrows with all kinds of treasures that they collect, like, you know, coyote scat, corn cobs, little bits of fabric. One time
Too
I saw
funny.
A sponge decorating a burrow. And it's just amazing. And that basically the males do this after the females have already laid their eggs. And it's a way of signaling to other males, you know, this burrow is taken. I'm a tough guy. You know, look at all the stuff I collected. Don't mess with me. And it's kind of like in the world of burrowing owls. If you want to look tough, you just decorate your home.
I love that so much. Before I let you go, what do you hope that readers take away from this book?
I really hope that that readers will come to see owls with more curiosity and awe, and really to think of them as the kind of subtle, ingenious, idiosyncratic, and just utterly fascinating creatures they are. And maybe also to question what owls might be showing us about kind of different ways of knowing in the natural world and different forms of intelligence, and also to come away kind of caring more about the survival of these magnificent birds and lending a hand to organizations that are working for owl conservation.
Well, Jennifer, it has been a pleasure to talk with you and to learn more about this. I really appreciate the conversation.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast only from NPR.